Good morning. It's Friday, September the 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. I want to wish a happy birthday to one of the dear friends of my soul today, Anthony Shelton. Happy birthday. Love you. And I want us to consecrate ourselves, guys. It's Friday, and a lot happens in the kingdom of God on a Friday in the fields of awakening. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled On the Journey from Wasteland to Graceland. Our text is Exodus chapter 2, verses 16 to 25. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery, went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Life is what happens when you're making other plans. I don't know who said it, but they were right. Moses' life seemed to have taken a detour. The text describes this season of Moses' life as a, quote, long period. He thought he did the right thing back in Egypt in coming to the defense of an Israelite slave. No sooner than he left Egypt, he found himself in another confrontation with a group of rogue shepherds trying to attack a band of seven defenseless sisters. Moses is a good egg, but he is lost, and life goes on. Though good things happen to him, including finding a wife and having a son, he still finds himself somewhere between wasteland and wilderness. The name he gave his son tells the story. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." He must have wondered to himself, "Why this? Am I being punished? What did I do wrong? He'd been exiled twice, first as a baby, forced from his own people, the Israelites, and then from his adopted people, the Egyptians. He'd gone from the privilege of the palace to herding sheep in Midian. The name Gershom says it all. I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. Have you ever felt exiled from your life, stuck in a moment you can't get out of, to borrow the lyric from Bono? Things are not turning out like you planned. Something or someone intervenes in your best laid plans, and a promising path turns toward what seems to be an endless exile. Where did I go wrong, you ask? You find yourself saying things like, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. Here's the good news. When you are doing your best to follow Jesus, and it feels like you are exiled from your life, you are not being punished. You are being prepared. At the same time Moses is wondering aloud about what happened to his best life, another conversational drama is playing out 100 miles away, as in, meanwhile, back at the ranch. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. You know, it can feel like life is an endless losing game of checkers until we discover it was not a game of checkers after all. God was playing chess, and he never loses. In times like these, we must exchange the why me question for the why this inquiry. We must turn out the lights on our pity party and open our hearts to the curriculum of circumstances through which God is preparing us for a future season we cannot yet see, much less imagine. I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. The future may be a lot closer to home than we realize. I'll give the last word today to one of our sowers from the field, pastor and friend, Debo Anyabanjo, who hails from Nigeria and pastors in Ohio. He made a comment on yesterday's entry, which carries right into today. In fact, it's where the title of today's entry comes from. He wrote, Debo wrote, when we encounter Jesus at the well that springs eternal, our wasteland will become graceland. Thank you, Debo. I put a link in today's email both to his church and to a place, it's on Facebook, where you can subscribe to his brilliant daily devotion that he sends out. It's rich. Well, let's pray here for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I hear you decree a season of exodus over me, over my family, over my church. Could it be even over my city? I receive it. And as you decree it, I declare it. Thank you for all the ways you take hardships and difficult circumstances and weave them into your plan for my good. Because of this, I can thank you for even the hardest of times. I offer up my circumstances, turning away from my victimhood, my bitterness, and even letting go of my own dreams and best laid plans. I trust you. And because I trust you, I trust your path. You are the God who delivers me from lost to found, from exile to home, even from wasteland to graceland. Yes, Father, from victimhood to victory. Prepare my heart, mind, soul, and strength for the deliverance that comes with Exodus. And now let it be as you decree for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 The journal prompts for today. How about it? Have you ever felt exiled from your life? Like a, quote, foreigner in a foreign land? Maybe even now? How might you make the turn toward trusting God to do something new in the midst of it? What might that look like? How about heading back to yesterday's well again today? You know, yesterday's well is not enough for today's water, is it? But that well is always right there. We've just got to step off the path long enough to sit there to meet with Jesus. All right, we're going to sing here in just a minute, maybe sooner than I think. I know I take a lot of your time in the morning, and you're gracious to give that time, especially those of you who are listening. I'm taking 20 minutes here. I know. But guys, we're just meeting with Jesus here, aren't we? What could be better than that? You're like, hey, can we go 40? I see that hand. All right, we're going to sing a song, you know, When Peace Like a River. You know it as It Is Well. Why don't we just dive right into it and let that song just lead our after party. Number 334 in our seedbed hymnal, our great Redeemer's praise, 334. You know, as I was out there at the cemetery on Tuesday, under the tent with this beautiful family, the Granthams, whose mother has passed on from the shores of this suffering life to the shores of unceasing praise. As we just sat there full of tears under the tent right there at the cemetery, I just told him the story of Horatio Spafford. You know, the man who lost most of his holdings in a fire in Chicago in 1871. He was a real estate broker. And then he lost his 4-year-old son to scarlet fever. And then he sent his four daughters and wife just to try to get away for just some respite after all this loss. He put them on a ship headed for England, and he was going to follow after he finished up some work. And that ship had a mighty collision and sunk. All four of his daughters were killed. His wife was spared. And he immediately got on a ship headed to England. As they crossed over the place where the tragedy had happened, the captain alerted him and let him know. And he stood there. As he stood there in that spot, he was inspired with the great hymn we have today. And we're going to sing. There's five verses here, and how about we sing one? I don't really do this often, but how about we sing verse one, verse three, and, well, I was at the funeral, actually, and I just kind of walked them through the song, the first verse and the last verse. That's what we're going to do today. We'll come back to the others later. You ready? This is the hymn Horatio Spafford wrote at the place of utter tragedy in the midst of utter loss. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Let's do verse three. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. You know, that's the thing. I said to that grieving family, I said, you know, there was that man who'd lost virtually everything. And I'm sure he did not feel the words that he wrote, but it's like thou, whether whether things are going good or the sorrows like sea billows roll, he's like, you've taught me to say, you've just taught, I have to say to my soul, I have to command my soul, it is well, soul. Jesus is risen, soul. God wins, soul. Anyway, I got to stop. You've been gracious to give me this time, and now I'm going to send you into the fields of awakening today, the fields of encouragement. Gather your seed. You're going to come across many souls today who need to be blessed, encouraged, lifted up, loved by you. That's how we sow for awakening. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.